Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
So Matthew 6:33 says this, Jesus speaking says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." It's a great scripture, very deep, very profound, very broad scripture about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And prior to that, he says all these things that he's speaking to. He's talking about, you know, what are you worried about? How you dress, how you look. He said that, consider the lilies of the field and how beautiful they are. Most wonderfully beautiful thing, if you think of a beautiful flower. He said, even, you know, Solomon, the great King Solomon, in all of his splendor and glory, in his decked out, in his king outfit, didn't even come close to what a flower looks like. You know, and consider the birds of the air. He said, they don't have a job. You know, they don't go to work. They don't do 9 to 5. Yet the Father meets all of their needs. How much more does he love you? And then he goes on into this part, and he says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, not seek only, because we do have to have jobs. We do have to have income and things like that. But he said, if you seek first, if the first thing on your mind, the first thing on your heart, the first thing is seeking God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. You'll get all of those things. They'll come along. That job that you've wanted, that raise that you've needed, that, you know, that health that you've desired, all of the things, he'll give them to you. God will give them to you. God is not stingy and he's not holding out, but he's got conditions whereby we are able to access everything that he has for us. There are conditions throughout the Bible. There's a lot of things that he says. And so it's not simplistic. Our faith is not simplistic. And I think there are simplistic foundational truths that we learn, but we should be learning and growing throughout our Christian life. And if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added to us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. John 5:44, Jesus said, "How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes only from God?" That only comes from God. How can you have faith if you only receive honor that comes from one another and do not seek the honor that comes only from God? You know, when God's blessing touches down in your life, people know it, and you can't, you know, anybody with any kind of intuitive sense at all in them will say, wow, that person has been blessed in their life. You know, when you seek the blessing that comes from God, when you seek the honor that comes from God, when it comes from God, it's self-evident and people know it. If you seek the blessing that comes from other people, in whatever line of living you are, you seek honor and seek blessing from one another. You know, the Bible basically says, well, you've got your reward now. Don't look for it in heaven. If you get your reward now, don't look for it in heaven too. If you get your reward now, if you seek your reward, you get your title, you get your position, you get your accolade, you get your pat on the back, you know, you've done it in front, you've done your good deeds in front of people so people can see you, and you get your big pat on the back and everybody thinks you're great, that's wonderful. Enjoy it because you got your reward. But when we seek the honor that comes from God, the honor that comes from God, he offers also the eternal reward that comes afterward, but also the reward that comes from the here and now. Sometimes that reward is simply peace. Which I think there are a lot of people that could use some peace in their life. I think there are a lot of people that could use more love in your life. You know, I sometimes look and I see, you know, folks that just don't have love, you know, or just are not generators of love. Maybe receivers of love. It's one thing to be a receiver of love, but we also should have the internal love generator, who is the Spirit of God. And so that your heart is this living thing. In the Old Testament, it says God is going to take away our old stony heart and give us a heart of flesh, right? A heart that feels, that's malleable. So there's a cost to being that kind of a Christian. It costs you something. Your salvation is a free gift of God. It was paid for you by Jesus Christ. But in order to have this malleable heart, in order to have this anointing, the anointing, our pastor Alan Babcock used to define the word anointing as the circumstance or the situation where flesh meets spirit. That's anointing. Where flesh meets spirit, where spirit and flesh come together, that's what anointing is. When the Holy Spirit comes together with your flesh, in your body, with your flesh, that's the anointing. And the Bible says that you have an anointing from the Holy One. And if you have an anointing from the Holy One, then there's some unction that has to maybe be woken up in you, but exists somewhere in you that wants to help you to desire holy, to desire the holy. Does that make sense? If you have an anointing from the Holy One, then who's in you is holy by his nature, and so therefore, if it's not woken up in you, there's a cost that has to be paid to wake up the anointing within you. The anointing is not asleep, dear brother and sister. We have a tendency to be a little lazy in this area. So when you speak with someone, Christian on the street, preacher, sometimes you hear great words that are profound and they blow your mind. I'm not talking about blowing your mind. I'm talking about blowing your heart. I'm talking about anointing is something that should raise your consciousness, should definitely raise your consciousness, but ultimately the impact, the effect that it's going to have will be something we call conviction. Me saying, I'm not that. Me saying, I need to get back to that, to be more of that. That's called conviction. That is not condemnation, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, the Bible says. I'm telling you, God's salvation is available to you. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. I don't care if you think you couldn't possibly fit into a God suit no matter what. I'm telling you, you're wrong. You were made to fit into a God suit. You are a God person. You are made in his image and his likeness. You were made to serve God. You don't feel comfortable. You feel convicted. You feel condemned. You feel like you could never do all that stuff. Don't worry about doing. Worry about being. You're a child of God. Jesus saved you. You're alive. But the anointing is something that needs to be stirred. You know, the Apostle Paul says, said to Timothy, his son in the faith, stir up the gift that's in you. Stir it up, the gift that's in you. So the anointing, we need to be reminded at times of the anointing, that the anointing is available. God is alive inside of us, and the anointing is available. When I hear the anointed gospel, I'm convicted, moved, and I know I need to spend some time on my knees, and I have to deal with it. When I hear the anointing, when I feel the anointing coming from someone else, I can have a conversation with one of you and feel convicted by it, and know that I have to go home and hit my knees and I have to get something right with God, that I have been negligent of the most important thing of all in life. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first. And very frankly, with all due respect, lazy Christians are not anointed Christians. I'm talking about spiritually lazy. Your disciplines, your spiritual disciplines. It does take spiritual disciplines. You know, the Bible says things like, little things like this. God doesn't expect much from you. But the Bible says things like this. Pray always. Right? I mean, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, we're talking about you and God now. We're not talking about you and the church. We're not talking about you and your family. We're not talking about you and the community or the culture or the political world. We're talking about you and God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay? There is a cost, and that's this cost is really paid for mostly in solitude. And solitude isn't really solitude. It's just that the other partner of this conversation is unseen, meaning you have to spend time with God. Okay? Busyness is the modern enemy to the anointing. But you know what? If your busyness is getting in the way of your seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then your priorities need to be corrected. They just need to be fixed. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen, work all you want. Make all the riches and wealth you want. You won't be satisfied until you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Because then you'll be full. Then you'll be full and content. No matter what your level of economy, no matter what your level of employment, no matter what your level of activity, you'll be content. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and if you become discontent and you become, you know, churned up inside, you'll recognize that it's God wanting you to do something or be somewhere or become active in something that he has for you. He has already pre-planned for you. So there's a cost to this anointing, and that cost is prayer. That cost is solitude. Got to know your word. If you don't know your word, there's Bible. God's got a book out. It'll take you a while to get to know it, but once you get to know it, you'll never forget it, because the Holy Spirit, Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come to remind you of all the things that I said to you. And how do we find out what Jesus said to us? It's all written here. So when the Holy Spirit is stirred up, you know the way you think biblically. You know, I tell people I've got this, you know that I don't really understand a lot about computers, but you have your main program running, and then there's a program that runs in the background. Like there's the spell checker program is running in the background as you're working on your Word document, and the little red line shows up and tells you that you spelled a word wrong. Well, that you don't see that running. That program isn't in the forefront. But when you seek the anointing, when you seek God, when you take the time to allow that inner life to become your primary source of function, you'll have the program of God's word running in the background all the time. You'll think biblically. You'll think biblically, and when you're having a conversation, when you'll be able to discern the spirits of people, you'll be able to hear what God is saying in the background, and the little red word will pop up. Jeremiah said, I engage my heart to seek the Lord. 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 I'm going to seek him. I'm going to find out if God is real. I'm going to find out. I know what the whole church says. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be the yes man of the church and all that. My parents believe it, and I guess I believe it. I don't really know. I engage my heart to seek the Lord. Because Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you, seeking you, knock and the door will be opened, seeking you will find. I engage my heart to seek the Lord. He has to hear your voice. If you're not praying, you're not praying. If you're not praying, he's not hearing your voice. So you can say, well, God knows everything, so he knows what I want. That's very true, but he desires to hear your voice. He wants to have a conversation with you. For whatever reason, the God of all creation, the invisible God of all creation, desires to hear your voice speaking to him. And that's just cool. Because you know what? Otherwise, there's no proof that you have faith. The only proof there is that you have faith is that you have enough faith to speak with your voice to an invisible God. There's nothing worse than being a Christian without the anointing. There's nothing worse than being a Christian with being dumb. And I use the word, remember they used to use the term deaf and dumb, and that means you couldn't talk, right? Somebody who's sort of deaf and dumb to the dimension of God's kingdom. There's nothing worse. Because you see a bunch of people who look like they're alive to God, and if you're honest with yourself, you'll say, I don't get their dimension. I don't see or hear anything from that dimension. So I can't really speak from my knowledge of that dimension because I've grown either lukewarm or never had it in the first place. Are you with me? You seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you. God is not trying to withhold the anointing from you. His desire is to lavish it upon you, his Holy Spirit. His desire is to lavish it upon you. Do your part. There's a tendency to grow lukewarm. It's called, you know, in science they call it entropy, the second law of thermodynamics. It's a principle that everything breaks down over time. I can build a brand new house, and I can leave for 40 years and come back, and that brand new house is going to be, their windows are going to be sagging, and things are going to be crooked on the porch, and for no reason at all other than entropy, other than the fact that things break down, systems break down. If you don't put energy into them, you make something new, it just doesn't stay new. It just doesn't stay beautiful. Things break down. Your walk with God breaks down. It requires energy. It requires input. It requires seeking. Okay? I'm making everybody happy today. You have to examine your heart like I have to examine my heart. You have to examine your heart. If you don't look inside your heart with a critical eye, listen, you look at your neighbor's heart with a merciful eye. You look at your own heart with a critical eye. You're the one, Jesus says, the way you judge is the way you're going to be judged, right? So you look at your neighbor with a merciful eye. You look at yourself with a critical eye. You ask yourself when you're reading your Bible, you don't say, wow, that's a great verse for Nick. That's a great verse for, my spouse, perhaps. I guess I should circle that in their Bible and leave it open on the bed. You know, read the Bible with a critical eye for yourself. Judge yourself, the Bible says, and you won't be judged. But for your neighbor, show mercy, show kindness, show grace. All true anointing comes out of intimacy with Christ. If you're not the friend of Jesus, if you don't spend time with him, if you're not able to tell him your deepest secrets, your faults and your flaws, and speak it to him directly, you don't have intimacy. Intimacy is a one-on-one relationship that you don't share with somebody else. The costly anointing comes really one way only. It's by seeking his face. The costly anointing comes by seeking his face. Ezra also, not only Jeremiah, Ezra, it says, set his heart to seek the face of the Lord. Okay? Colossians 3:1 says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. So we're talking about your intimacy with God, your relationship with Christ. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you see someone who's had a successful tenure in the Lord, you'll know that that's a person who's diligently sought the Lord, because that's the promise of God. Amen. And this is Isaiah 40. It says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Please don't say that. Please don't say, I've been praying and God has not come through for me. He says, why do you say that? He said, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. God doesn't see me. My just claim is passed over by my God. He says, why would you say that? Doesn't the entire Bible teach us about the importance of patience? And James says, let patience have its perfect work. Right? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Haven't you known? Haven't you heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. God is not asleep. God is not asleep. Why would you say, my way is hidden from God, and my just claim, my prayers have been passed over by him? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The God, the creator of the ends of the earth, is neither faints nor is weary. He's not asleep. He didn't take a break. He's not out on break. He didn't punch out. He didn't give up on you. It says his understanding is unsearchable. Don't try to figure him out. Don't try to come up with some equation that's going to help you figure out when God is going to come through. Trust him. Believe him. Seek him. It says he gives power to the weak. He doesn't give power to the strong. So if you walk around with your pride and your arrogance, well, you're not going to get power, because he gives power to the weak. It's only admitted weakness where God comes in, because then God can be glorified through weakness, not through your strength, because if it's through your strength, you're going to take credit for it. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths, even the young people will faint and be weary. You know, we're in that generation where young folks, frankly, just don't have the heart to live a life of you know, running and pushing forward and desiring to have a life that's an overcoming life. A life filled with the good things of God. Even youth faint and are weary in a culture like ours. You're so filled with information from so many different sources, it exhausts even the youth. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait on the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I remember, I think it was somebody on TBN once or something, who said, well, you can see it waiting on the Lord as sort of just waiting for the Lord to come through, or you can see it as being a waiter for the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord's table. This is a cool thing to think about. He says, they shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And what I thought about that really inspired me today was the thing about eagles. Now, we have bird feeders, right, in the winter, and mostly little birds. come to our bird feeders in the winter. And those birds have to work their wings off, man, to fly. Those birds are fluttering 50 times a second, it feels like. Little chickadee just to get from here to there. He flutters up into the air and then he'll sort of swoop down and land on the bird feeder. But they are working those wings. You know the thing about an eagle? An eagle depends on the thermals, on the updrafts, on the wind. The eagle may work a little bit to gain some altitude, but once he gains altitude, he doesn't work anymore. See, when you are mounted up with wings as eagles, you're not working anymore. It's not about you fluttering your wings so hard that you're so hard, you're trying to make it, you're trying to get ahead, you're trying to win the race, you're trying to have a victory, you're beating your wings like crazy. You actually are catching the draft of the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Spirit. Jesus said, the people who were born of the Spirit of God, nobody knows, the Spirit of God is like the wind. Nobody knows where it comes from or where it goes. You literally are riding on the wings of the Spirit of God. That's the anointing, ladies and gentlemen. That's the very presence of God that dwells in you. That information that you receive from God's dimension that makes you great, that makes people call you blessed. You say, you know, I don't like that guy very much because it doesn't seem like he can do anything wrong. You know, he even goes through tragedy in his life and he's still smiling. He's still, what is it about him? Why is he buoyant? Why is he alive? Why is he awake? Why is he blessed? You see, even the young men will utterly fall. You're going to beat your wings. There's a limitation to your human power. But they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Seek first the kingdom of God. So the word today, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God is alive. He is desiring so desperately entrance into your life and in a deeper way, into deeper caverns in your life. He wants to fill you with anointing. He wants to fill you with his power, with his life, with his spirit. It's yours for the taking. It does cost you something. It costs you some time. It costs you opening of your heart. It costs you honesty, all those things. But the Lord, he is a mighty one. Amen.
Hello, my name is Jacob Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. Today's message is titled, Seek to Soar, the Reward for Those Who Dare to Seek. Pastor Bob preached today from Matthew 6 and Isaiah 40, showing us that we must first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and also wait on the Lord so he can renew our strength. After hearing a message like this, you may ask, what's next? How do I start seeking God first in my life? First, repent of your sins and make Jesus Lord of your life. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I repent from my sins today. I ask that you would cleanse me by your blood. I believe you died as a sacrifice for my sins and rose again on the third day victorious over sin and death. I receive the free gift of salvation purchased by Jesus' death, and I walk forward as a new creation in Christ. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill me with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Jesus, I love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free, online, and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. If this podcast has touched you today, would you consider giving to the work of spreading God's Word? You can give online and learn more about OFR, CMCC, and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jacob Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.